It is a over 4 million ounces of gold defined or mined from that deposit. That's the target that we're looking for.
4 million.
The opportunity, and there'll be other, there's other styles of mineralization, of course, that we'll be looking for as well. The reason the opportunity sits there is the extent of the belt in Botswana is actually covered by sands of the Kalahari Desert.
Ken Armstrong, North Arrow Minerals. Good afternoon to you. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, Andy. Thanks very much. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Good.
So we were poking around. Was actually my partner here, Steve Yang, was poking around just looking for some new projects here, and we were intrigued by you. I'd like you to start first. Tell us, give us a 30,000-foot view of yourself and the company, and give then start going to the projects that you guys are currently working on.
Yeah, sure. Well, with I'm the CEO of North Arrow Minerals, so we're a TSX venture listed junior based in Vancouver in Canada. We're a group of exploration professionals, have had a lot of exploration experience in North America and Africa. The company's gone through a change in direction a little bit over the last 12 months. And our focus right now is a new gold project in Botswana. And we're just sort of launching our exploration work there now after doing a bit of a reorganization and financing last fall.
Excellent. Why the pivot? Is it just that you guys discovered some gold in Botswana? I'm sure that's it, but go ahead and answer this.
Yeah, I mean, it was an idea. I mean, really, if we look back, our focus had been on diamonds for about the last 10 or 12 years. We still hold in the company a number of diamond projects, but they've been tough, really hard in the junior sector to raise the funding. Diamonds have, as you may appreciate, a long timeline associated with them to evaluate projects. And we just kind of hit a bit of a wall, frankly, with our insiders and friends and families. We're still supporting financing, but it was getting tough. We looked at a few lithium properties. It turned out actually some of our diamond properties, we had spodumene pegmatite. So, and we'd been looking at those over the last 18 to 24 months, getting them drill ready, but it wasn't a space that was a real priority for us. So we're just in the process of selling those projects actually. And we took a view last year. Ira Thomas joined the company as chair of the board. Ira has real connections in Botswana through her involvement with Lucara and running the Karowe Diamond Mine down there. And she left Lucara about 18 months ago. And we just looked at a number of projects in the company, what we wanted to do, and we settled on this gold opportunity in Botswana. And it really got our attention because we really know and like the jurisdiction. It's with a partner down there that has in-country experience and a lot of ability to just get work done. And we'll get into it, I'm sure, but it's a regional belt scale exploration opportunity for gold, sort of Archean orogenic gold mineralization in a belt that's totally unexplored. At least Botswana, an extent of it is. It could trend down into South Africa, and there's an operating gold mine down there that we look at as sort of our target that we're looking for with the exploration that we're just starting now.
Okay, so if I can follow up with a few questions about that. I have some experience investing in South Africa. I have zero experience investing in Botswana, so I have some questions about the jurisdiction itself. The first question would be, what's the timeline of getting mining or drilling permits and then mining permits? And where are you at in the drilling permit process? And then tell me about the project itself.
So permitting is one of the really nice things. I mean, Botswana as a whole, and we can get into it, is we think it's a great jurisdiction. It's arguably the most stable democracy in Africa, I think. But from, you know, to the point of your question, when you get a prospecting license, which gives you the right to do the exploration, that comes with permission for the work program that you're going to do. It's not all one thing. So it's not like, say, even here in Canada, where you may state claims and then you have to apply to a different arm of the government entirely just to get the work permit permission. That comes, permission to conduct the program comes with the prospecting license itself. So it's very transparent process. It's pretty straightforward. And so we have those licenses and we have the permission to do the program that we've mapped out, which does include, and I'm sure we'll get into this too, but a pretty significant amount of reverse circulation drilling, to test along the belt.
So you answer my question. So you have that permit to explore and to drill. Oh, excellent. Music to my ears. Okay. So let's roll into the, well, real quick, once you do get the permit, assuming you'd want to take this to completion and de-risk it, what is the, what's the ETA on getting a permit to mine in Botswana?
Oh gosh, it's in the process. We have prospecting licenses, and then you go to the next stage. Once you've defined a deposit, then you make an application to the government for the permit to mine. It's something that can be done. Obviously, there's been mining in Botswana for a number of years, and particularly diamond mining is probably the biggest. Well, it is the biggest part of their economy, and our own group experience in diamonds is part of the reason we know the jurisdiction so well. We need to find something first. I mean, the project itself is an idea to look for gold exploration. So we are a long way from there. This is an idea to really going back to first principles and trying to make it brand new discovery in a belt of rocks that we think are very prospective.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's just like, for example, if I'm, and you know this, if I'm in BC and I have all my drilling and we got something that can be a mine here. It's going to take me another 8 to 10 years, 7 to 10 years to get a mining permit. And that's why I asked that question. So again, what are we looking at? Or do you know?
I'm going to say, I don't necessarily know directly, but it is a set process that you can work your way through. And because we're starting right at ground zero pre-discovery, we have time to make sure that everything is in place. And it's part of the advantage for the project. Our partner, as I mentioned, Rockman Resources, have an office in Gaborone and in country experience. That group has explored and developed projects in Botswana for the last 30 odd years. So there's that in country experience is a really important component.
Yeah, no, it's very important to navigate all that. Okay. Yeah. Tell me about the project and what attracted you this, and what is some worst case scenarios. That would be obviously the nothing. What are some of the best case scenarios? Obviously you got this for a reason. What's the potential?
Yeah, well, I think we think potential is big. So the licenses we have cover a 60 kilometer extent of the Kraipan Greenstone Belt. So Greenstone Belts are like, say, the Abitibi Greenstone Belt in Ontario, Quebec. It's the exact same sort of setting, really old rocks, a great place to look for gold mineralization. The northern 60 kilometers of what is really about a 200 kilometer long belt. The southern extent of it is in South Africa. There's a number of gold deposits known along its extent in South Africa. The most significant is the Kalahari Gold Ridge deposit, which is known as the Kal Gold Mine that Harmony Gold operates. It's about 40 kilometers south of the border, so about 40 kilometers south of our project. Iron Formation hosted gold targets. It produces about 45 or 50,000 ounces of gold a year. About 45 to 50,000 ounces per year. Has been in production since the mid-1990s. I think Harmony's got about a 12-year mine life still ahead of it and more resource upside. So it is over 4 million ounces of gold defined or mined from that deposit. That's the target that we're looking for.
4 million.
Yeah, the opportunity, and there's other styles of mineralization, of course, that we'll be looking for as well. The reason the opportunity sits there is the extent of the belt in Botswana is actually covered by sands of the Kalahari Desert. So this is what we're looking at is exploration undercover. The sands range up to about 70 meters thick, but on average, we believe they're in the neighborhood of 25 to 40 meters of thickness. And they're just covering up the ability to explore or evaluate these rocks. And that's why they haven't been. That's why exploration hasn't really focused on the Botswana extent before. So we need to come up with ideas of, what can we do to see through that cover and make a discovery. There in the very southern extent of our licenses, there's a little bit of outcrop where iron formations kind of poke out of the sand cover in a series of hills or ridges. There was some exploration done there in the 90s. So when the Kal Gold Mine was going into production, there's a little bit of work that was done focused where these outcroppings of iron formation occur, and getting kind of, there was some drilling done with rotary air blast drilling, so sort of chips and so on, and getting kind of gram level type assays from surface over sort of 5 or 10 meters, maybe a little bit thicker intervals, but body. So a lot of the work were kind of fences of holes. They might get sort of 10 meters of a gram, but then on the holes on either side of it, not get much. And so the operator at the time, I mean, it was mid 90s, so gold was at $300 an ounce, say. He kind of looked at it and said, well, this isn't a deposit. We're kind of done. We're looking at that as an indication that we have the right rocks. There's smoke there, what would characterize as smoke. And now what can we do to extend this interpretation beneath sand cover? And so the tools that we're going to use and are just starting ramping up our work now to apply. First of all, we're taking a look at the areas where there are these outcropping iron formations. There's a fair bit of deformation in these rocks. So we're doing a structural analysis. We're getting an experienced structural geologist onto these outcrops, get a remap, get a really good handle of what we see happening structurally, where we have the outcrops. And then we're also flying the entire property with really detailed magnetic surveys using a drone system that, again, our partner Rockman has access to. It's called Remote Mapper. We're basically flying the entire belt, 25 meter line spacing, very high quality magnetic data. Because it's iron formation hosted target that we're initially looking for, you can see the iron formations with the magnetic data. So we'll take our structural interpretation, what we're seeing, extend that beneath cover where we have this really high quality magnetic data, and then I'll sit around and come up with our top target areas, looking for areas of structural complexity, all the kind of indications you want. And then we have a 3-month overburden RC drilling program plan that'll run sort of from April to June this year to test as many of these targets as rapidly as we can.
You're going pretty quick. Correct me if I'm wrong. So it sounds, that's music to my ears. It's fast.
Yeah, we want to sort of hit it as best we can, and we'll you know, if we can be even more aggressive, we'll try and do that. But that program is what we have mapped out. It's based on, you know, with, I mentioned we'd done a reorganization in the fall, and we did a financing. So what we are funded to do, but we're looking at how do we answer the question, right? Is there a deposit? Kind of gets to your question on what's the downside. You know, the downside is that there isn't a deposit there, or there isn't mineralization that's significant enough to evaluate. And we want to get that answer. If that's the case, you know, ideally it won't be, because we think it's a pretty good exploration idea. I mean, there's not many places where you can get a regional, totally greenfields exploration project in a really good jurisdiction that you can kind of go right back to first principles and start your evaluation from scratch. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah, well, you're talking about 4 million ounces of gold. That would be, if that is indeed the case, that would be enough gold that a major would be interested in you. So,
yeah. So it's that, and that gives, I think, really, it gives an idea of the scale or the order of magnitude of deposit that could be found. Obviously, it exists in this belt of rocks,
right,
to the south. So there's no reason that there can't be more of them. And in fact, I think it'd be more unusual for a greenstone belt to only have one significant gold deposit in it. You look at comparables, you know, elsewhere, you know, Canada obviously is where we're most familiar with. And you typically get a number of deposits in each individual greenstone belt. So there's no reason it should be different here.
Got it. No, real quick, are you thinking, I'm assuming you'll spin out your other projects and other properties or just sell them?
Yeah, well, so I mentioned the lithium properties we are selling. So we're just in the stages. We announced that sale in December, and we're just in the very final steps of closing it. So we're selling them to a company, Lift Power. Those properties are in the Northwest Territories. And Lift is the most advanced operator in that jurisdiction right now. So it's an equity. We're getting 250,000 shares of Lift, and we get exposure to their advanced project plus future evaluation on what we'd come up with. The diamond properties, yeah, we'll keep them in inventory right now. We've done enough work on them that there's no pressure in terms of tenure or having to do work to maintain them. So we can be patient and just kind of wait for the diamond market to settle out or figure out the best way to extract value from those. But Crypan is our focus. It's still really new. We are going to look at other opportunities in Botswana or Southern Africa as well. With some of our experience down there and our partners' experience down there, we think there could be other opportunities. This could be a starting point for us in terms of really taking a good look down in that part of Africa.
You mentioned being generated by a specialist in the sub-Saharan exploration, the people you're working with, partnering with. You also talked about the friendly jurisdiction. Can you talk a little bit more about what makes it friendly? What have you seen with the people you're working with? What experience do they have? And a little bit more about your partners.
Sure. So I'll start with jurisdiction first, and then we can talk about Rockman. So, I mean, Botswana, I think I said, it's arguably the most stable democracy in Africa. Like, it's a Commonwealth country. Botswana had elections late last year. The ruling party lost those elections. Transfer of power happened with no headlines, no drama. Just it progressed the way it should be expected to progress in a democracy. I think it's fair to say it's a jurisdiction that understands the benefits that mining can bring to the citizens of a country. A lot of that is based on their experience with diamonds. The diamond deposits were found in Botswana right around the time it switched over from being a protectorate of the British Crown to its own country in the late 1960s. And the government has had a real sort of focus and vision on extracting value from those deposits over time. And they've managed to do that. I think at the time the deposits were found, it was like the third poorest country in the world. And in the present day, it now has, there's free secondary or high school level education for everyone. There's a public healthcare system that everyone has access to, good infrastructure development. And a lot of that is on the back of diamond mining. And I think there's a recognition that, some diversity in that would be important. So we're seeing, and there's more companies that are active there for copper exploration, particularly up in the northwestern part of the country. There's some iron ore deposits, some nickel deposits. But it's largely for the metals and including, gold, it's largely unexplored, and it's a function of those desert sands of the Kalahari that kind of cover up that prospective geology. So a big part of it is it's an Archean craton called the Cat Vowel. Two thirds of that craton sit within South Africa, doesn't have that sand cover. And that's where a lot of the mines in South Africa are located. And then you look at the remaining third of it that's under Botswana or within Botswana, and there's very little beyond the diamond mines. And that's a function of that sand cover. In a Commonwealth country. So that sort of gives the case for the, I guess the regulatory setup and so on is based on that history. And then our partner,
Rockman, was it?
Yeah, Rockman. So it's a private company. And the principles behind it, though, have been active in Southern Africa for, as I said, over three decades. The operator, in terms of physically doing the work, is a group called Mineral Services. Have a long history, in particular, of diamond exploration. It was formed by Professor John Gurney out of the University of Cape Town. John has subsequently passed away, but the group of professionals there within that larger Mineral Services group have a number of different companies, and that they own and operate that remote mapper system, which is that drone magnetic system that we talked about. They have drilling services companies. They have the ability to do this work. So they own, I mentioned we're going to do the reverse circulation overburden drilling. They own that and have operated down there successfully in a number of commodities, but mostly diamonds, as I said, for the last 30 years or so.
And I was intrigued by not only your potential for gold discovery, but also your share structure. I know you guys completed a share consolidation recently. Could you talk about who owns your stock? What percentage of insiders do you guys have there?
Yeah, so we did a rollback as part of the restructure. We hadn't done sort of a reorganization or rollback for about 12 years. So we stuck with it, but as part of, hitting that wall and looking at our diamond properties, we felt if we're going to do this, let's really get ourselves well organized. So we're, just under 29 million shares outstanding right now. Just under 40 million shares fully diluted. And we raised a 2.2 million Canadian in a non-brokered placement last fall. Have a number of sort of legacy shareholders from the Diamond side, some of which participated in the financing and some didn't. Insiders hold about 15% of the company. Ross Beatty is a shareholder. He's been a very good supporter of us through Diamond Exploration, and he did participate. And the Lundin family is also a shareholder. They're kind of a happy holder. Didn't participate in the placement. And the bulk, I mean, we call it our float, is about 55% of the shares, but a big chunk of that is from support from Haywood here in Vancouver on the retail side. So, you know, we think we are well structured. And this, again, is part of just reorganizing and getting ourselves positioned for discovery. So we started the year with about 2.3 million Canadian in the bank. I mentioned, you know, we'll close the sale of the lithium properties, and that is, as mentioned, 250,000 shares of list, and they're trading right around $3 Canadian, give or take. You know, pretty volatile. It's lithium, so that's sort of our basis, and we're fully funded then to get us through this program that we've mapped out through the front half of this year. And we're, now that we're kind of structured with work about to start, that structural analysis I mentioned, and then leading into the drilling. Now we're going to take some time as well to think about, all right, how do we make sure we're positioned for the follow-up work that we're going to, you know, ultimately want to do, and how might we be able to go about this a bit more aggressively.
Excellent. Real quick, we got about just a couple of minutes. What's a conduit or anything coming up that people should be aware of or just keep their ears open for that will move the stock in the next probably 6 months going into the summer? And then give me your web address and your ticker symbol so people can buy you if they're looking to do that.
Sure. Thanks. Yeah. So, I mean, it's obviously, you know, closing the lithium sale will be important. And then it's the start of work. A lot of the news flow sort of, we're right at the end of January right now. So through March is going to be talking about our target generation. As I mentioned, we're starting drilling in time. We're pegging sort of April for that, but that's 3 solid months. Of drilling these targets. So there'll be news flow throughout that period. You know, we do a month of drilling and have a good number of holes completed by then. And assays are, you know, they are what they are coming out of lab. So call it 6 weeks for turnaround, that kind of thing. But we're really, I think, just in terms of a positive result, we're looking for, because it's drilling undercover, we're looking for an indication of mineralization. To get some mineralization will be great. We're looking to identify is alteration halos that could be associated with mineralization that we could then follow up in a subsequent program. That sort of idea would be considered a success with this program. And that kind of running through, I'm saying through the end of June, but ideally we keep on going if that is all going well. Our website is northarrowminerals.com. So it's North Arrow Minerals with an S. And we're listed on the TSX Venture Exchange, and our symbols NAR.
Excellent. Ken, thank you so much. I'll put all of this in the show notes, both on the YouTube channel as well as the Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts.
Great. Thanks very much, Andy. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.